Please turn with me and God's holy word to the book of Ruth. The Old Testament, the book of Ruth. And our text today is Ruth chapter 4, verses 14 through 22. Hear now the reading of God's very word, and we'll start in verse 13. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife, and he went in to her, and the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. And then the women said to Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord, who has not left you this day without a redeemer, and may his name be renowned in Israel. He shall be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you, who is more to you than seven sons, has given birth to him." Then Naomi took the child and laid him on her lap and became his nurse. And the women of the neighborhood gave him a name, saying, "A son has been born to Naomi." They named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now these are the generations of Perez. Perez fathered Hezron. Hezron fathered Ram. Ram fathered Amminadab. Amminadab fathered Nahshon. Nahshon fathered Salmon. Salmon fathered Boaz. Boaz fathered Obed. Obed fathered Jesse. And Jesse fathered David. Thus ends the reading of God's very word. I'm going to ask Elder Steve French, please, to lead us in prayer.
You and your word are pure and powerful. And you, Lord Jesus, our Redeemer, we have perfect peace. So we do pray that you would come and bless us, Lord, that you would meet with us as we look into your word at this sweet picture of you, our Redeemer, again.
Amen. Amen. Well, we come now to the end of this exciting account of God raising up a kinsman redeemer for this family that had suffered such great sorrow and heartache and loss. We saw how the Lord in his providence, Naomi's husband, her sons die. She and her daughter-in-laws are going to return to Bethlehem, the town where they were from. Naomi is so full of unbelief and bitterness that she encourages her daughter-in-laws to return to the land of darkness, to their pagan gods. That's how full of despair Naomi was at this point. But the Lord touched the heart of one of these daughter-in-laws and gave her a faith in the Christ and a commitment to stand with God's people, regardless of what that meant for her own status and ease of life. And so this Moabitess comes back to Israel. She ends up gleaning in the field of a very godly older gentleman in the community there, an upstanding man, evidently a man who did not have in the Lord's providence a family of his own, a wife of his own. And what an amazing account The book of Ruth reveals to us the gracious, kind working of God. Bringing not only temporal relief from Naomi and Ruth just not having enough food to eat, but giving Ruth a husband, a family, and giving Naomi now this heir who would carry on the family name and restore her through the kindness, through the grace of God in the provision of this kinsman redeemer, Boaz. And so we pick it up. Boaz declares that he will be delighted to take Ruth as his wife. This declaration is made, and the people rejoice, ask for God's blessing. And so Boaz marries Ruth. They enjoy a life together as husband and wife, and God blesses them with a son. And so that's where we'll pick it up now in verse 14. And what we're going to see today is how the covenant redeemer is at work in the life of God's people. And so in verse 14, then the women said to Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord, who has not left you this day without a redeemer." What a contrast. Ruth chapter 1, these same women say, "Oh, Naomi has come back home." And this lady whose name means pleasant says, "Stop right there. Don't call me pleasant one. There's nothing pleasant about my life. God has dealt bitterly with me. I left full, but I'm coming back empty. Call me by my new name, Mara." And now what a contrast. As God has reached down His gracious, mighty hand, we see these same women who had been urged to view God's providence in a lens of unbelief and disdain. Now these women sing praise to Almighty God for what He has done. As they are addressing Naomi, they say, "Blessed be the Lord. Blessed be the Lord." And one of the things we need to learn from this is that when we know the Redeemer, He stirs us up to praise His name. That's one of the evidences of the presence and the work of the Redeemer. Turn with me over to the book of Ephesians, and I want you to just see that this is one of the characteristics of God's people. As a matter of fact, we'll look at 1 Peter chapter 1 first. 1 Peter chapter 1. And so, what is it that characterizes those who know the Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, we have joy because we belong to a Redeemer who has rescued us. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8, "Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And though you do not now see Him, you believe in Him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls." And so we're a people just like those women were. As we see the hand of the Redeemer in our own lives, in the lives of others, we can't help but praise the Lord. We are stirred from the heart to say, "Blessed be the Lord." Look over in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may what? Proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And so when we read there in Ruth chapter 4 verse 14, these women, as they see the mighty hand of God, as they see God raising up a redeemer kinsman, they say, blessed be the Lord who has brought this rescue. And that's what our experience is. If we know, if we see the Redeemer, we can't help but praise the Lord that he has reached down his hand and he has plucked us as brands from the burning. Our sins are forgiven. They're washed. We are made as white as snow in the sight of Almighty God. He takes our sins and drowns them in the depths of the sea. Our iniquities that would crush us, as Psalm 130 says, Lord, if you should mark iniquities, Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you that you may be feared. And so we are a people who love to proclaim the excellencies of him who called us out of darkness in his marvelous light. Over in the book of Ephesians, we see chapter 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And so, I mean, we could just go on and on looking at, this is one of the characteristics, this is the experience of God's people. And these women, it would be easy for us to read over this little phrase, blessed be the Lord. But what does that mean? It means that these women were standing in awe of what God had done to rescue this woman from a life of hopelessness to now have a future of blessing, all because of God being the Redeemer, the covenant Redeemer. He stirs us up to praise him. Look on over in Ephesians chapter 5. And here we have a contrast given of putting off the old man and putting on the new man in Christ. And so the old man walks in rebellion against God, walks in a life of just doing your own thing, as it's described here in Ephesians chapter 5. We no longer live that way because we know the Redeemer. He has come to rescue us, and so we want to walk with him. Well, look at verse 15. Look carefully then how you walk, meaning how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. And therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. And so here's a command to be filled, and that it is in the present tense, which has the force of something that's not just a one-time deal. This is something that is a continuous action. Be continually filled, literally, is what the Greek is saying. Be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. And it's this idea of being controlled, of delighting to give ourselves to the Lord and say, Lord, I beg that you would animate me and you would capture my thinking and my heart and take my hands and take my eyes, and I delight to be yours, Lord. And so he gives us now some examples of what it looks like to be filled, to be controlled, to be captured by the presence of Messiah. He comes to live in us. And we have a series of participles here. And participles are verbs that are used as adjectives. They're action words describing something. And so these action words are describing what it looks like to be controlled, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Look at them. Verse 19, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. That's what it looks like. And so you see, again, these women, blessed be the Lord who has not left you without a redeemer. Blessed be the Lord. These women are praising God. And that's what happens when we know the Redeemer. We must praise His name, even when tears are flowing down our cheeks, even when we're in agony, yet our heart is looking to God. Just like we read there in Psalm 12. Obviously, the psalmist wasn't having an easy time when he said, "Save, O Lord, help, Lord. For the godly man ceases to exist." I'm living in a culture, David said, where I feel like I'm the only one who is loving God. And you may feel that way at times in this culture, in the workplace, or as you deal with various situations. But praise God. Even in the midst of that, we're a people who have the privilege of looking to God. And of knowing that He is a faithful Savior. And He's made promises to us that will never fail. He says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." So that we can boldly say, "The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid." The Lord has made promises that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Satan would love for us to just see our sin and despair over it. But the Lord has given us His Word that we might know the living Word and have peace and comfort and joy in Him. So we sing praise to God. And verse 20, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're a thankful people. Even when we're in hard situations, we say, "Lord, I thank you I can pray. I thank you that even though I don't know how this is going to turn out, I don't see anything good that could come out of this. Lord, I thank you that you're my good, faithful God. And I'm going to trust you, Lord. And I'm crying to you, hang on to me. Help me, bless me. Thank you, Lord." See, that's what it looks like. It doesn't mean that it's just when times are easy where we need to remember to say thank you to Jesus. But in all of life, in every aspect, every situation, we ought to be saying, "Blessed be the Lord. Lord, I'm looking to you." Like James chapter 5 says, "Is anyone suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing praises." That pretty well covers it, doesn't it? If you're in trouble, we ought to be looking to God. If we're at ease, we ought to be looking to God, praising His name, crying out to Him. So that's the first thing that we see here. These women respond as they see what God has done to raise up the Redeemer, the covenant Redeemer. They are stirred to praise. The second thing we see is, in verse 14, these women, they are stirred by the covenant Redeemer to beg for His blessing. Look what they say here in Ruth. "Then the women said to Naomi, 'Blessed be the Lord, who has not left you this day without a Redeemer, and may His name be renowned in Israel.'" They say, "Lord, we are looking to you to cause this little boy to have a name that is renowned." Now, literally, the Hebrew says, "a name that is called." a name that is called. And it's translated a name that is renowned. In other words, it's a name that people talk about. Lord, we're asking you to bless this little boy and to use him in such a way that people are going to talk about him, about what you have done. That his name will become renowned because of what you do in him and through him. And that's what happens when the covenant redeemer comes into our lives. We want to pray for one another. Pray that God will come by His Spirit and bring the blessings of God upon our own lives, to experience together the goodness of the Lord. We see the third thing in this passage. Well, before we go on, think about us praying one for another. What a privilege it is for us to pray for one another. Praying that the Lord will keep us. Praying the Lord will bless us. Praying the Lord will bless our various families. That the Lord will protect and keep each of us in the callings where the Lord has put us. You know, as we think about one another. And I would encourage you as families, not only do we have the joy of doing this at our prayer meetings, to pray for the things that we know of one for another. As, you know, many in our congregation are caring for elderly folks. And they need encouragement and blessing as they do that. We pray for one another in our callings. God has placed some of you in very difficult places of service. That's why it's called work. Because it's kind of hard at times. And we have the privilege of praying for one another that God would bless us. In our families, we ought to be praying for one another in our church family, praying that God would bless and keep and heal and hang on to us. Well, that's what happens when the covenant redeemer comes. He stirs his people to beg for blessing. The third thing, and we could just say so much about that, keep praying, you know, keep praying. Keep praying for one another. It's important. God has recorded it here in this passage. These women, when they saw God coming to redeem, they prayed for further blessing. Well, the third thing that we see is, I want you to see how the covenant redeemer uses his people to speak the truth of God's word. Words of encouragement. Look at verse 14. Then the women said to Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord, who has not left you this day without a redeemer." Now, they were gracious, but these women, they're reminding Naomi, "Naomi, praise God, you don't want to be called Mara anymore. You don't want to be Mara." Now, they didn't make her feel bad talking about it. But they highlight the fact, "Naomi, we rejoice with you. Honey, we rejoice with you because look what God has done. Look what God has done. Blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without a redeemer. And may his name be renowned in Israel." And then they go on, verse 15. They say, look what God has done. Look at how God has been faithful and gracious and merciful. He shall be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. Look what God has done. He's raised up a kinsman redeemer, and you are no longer destitute. You no longer are having to go out and scratch in the dirt to pick up crumbs from a harvest so that you'll have food on the table. You have been blessed. God raised up this kinsman redeemer. Now, we're going to talk more about what Boaz did, but I want you to just think how Boaz sacrificed to be the kinsman redeemer. Boaz was willing to marry this widow so that the name of a dead man could be restored, so that the family of a widow could be rescued first. And then if the Lord blessed him with another son, that would be the first son that he and Ruth would have. The first son, the kinsman redeemer, the first son they would have would be to carry on the name and the family, restoring at the expense of the kinsman redeemer. He would buy the debt. He would be the one who would restore the family farm, if you will, to this widow and to this heir at his own expense. What a picture of God's grace. And we'll talk more about that. But these women remind Naomi. They speak words of encouragement. And you know, we need to be doing more of that. Not only praying for one another, and I know we pray for each other in this congregation. I praise God for that. And we need to do more of it. But these women, they also spoke to Naomi. They spoke words of encouragement. They said, look, here's who God is. Here's what he's done. And we just need to rejoice together. Blessed be the Lord. Look what God has done. Look what God has given you, Naomi. And they're not doing it in a mean, ugly way, but they are full of joy and rejoicing with Naomi, who was full of joy. And Naomi, she is one happy lady because the Redeemer had come. Well, look at verse 15. He shall be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age, for your daughter-in-law who loves you, who is more to you than seven sons, has given birth to him. You know, Naomi, there was no future and hope left for you in yourself. You couldn't have any more sons. And this daughter-in-law that God blessed you with, and God blessed her to have find favor in the eyes of this wealthy, older gentleman. And you remember Boaz, you just have to laugh when Ruth goes to the threshing floor and he wakes up in the middle of the night and his feet are warm and he goes, "Wow, my feet are warm. Oh, there's a woman sleeping at my feet." And he asks her who she is, and she says, I am Ruth, and I'm asking you to spread your garment over me and to propose to me. And Boaz says, blessed be you, my daughter, that you did not go after the young men, whether rich or poor, but you've asked me to be willing to propose to you. And my answer is YES, all caps with several exclamation points afterward. And so these women now are saying, look what God has done. Look how God has provided for you, Naomi. You are not living in poverty anymore. You're not living with no future. Your family is going to be carried on. A restorer of life, a nourisher of your old age, for your daughter-in-law who loves you, who is more to you than seven sons, has given birth to him. And so this little boy that God blesses Boaz and Ruth with is the one now who's going to carry on the family name. Boaz has bought the debt. Boaz has paid all the liens off on this property. Boaz is the one that God has used now. And this little baby boy, this grandson that Naomi is holding, is God's provision. God's kind provision. And these women are speaking these words of encouragement, taking the truth of God's word, and in the face of how God is at work in His providence. We'll just look at one passage of Scripture. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 3. And I want you to think about, well, what should we learn from this? Well, when the Redeemer comes, it not only stirs us up to want to praise God, it not only stirs up to want to pray for even further blessings, but thirdly, it stirs us up to want to speak words of encouragement in the face of the Savior, the Lord Jesus, to those around us. And here in Hebrews chapter 3, the Lord says in verse 12, "Take care, brothers, lest there be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God." Have you ever found yourself with your heart growing cold toward God? Have you? Have you ever found times when you just don't feel like praying much? You know you ought to read the Scriptures, but you're just not excited about doing so. Well, that's the beginning of spiritual death. That's the beginning of spiritual death. And the book of Hebrews, there were many Christians who in the days when this was originally given, it was tough to be a Christian, because many of the people who bore the name of Christ were losing their jobs because they loved Jesus. Some of them were put out of their homes because they loved Jesus. And in that time of heartache and persecution, some of them were saying, well, you know, maybe it's not worth clinging to Jesus. Maybe we could go back to, you know, the old religion. They don't seem to be having the problems we do. And so that was the context in which the book of Hebrews, and the preacher in the book of Hebrews says, listen, don't let go of Jesus, because those old shadows in the Old Testament, they were useful only for one thing: to point to Jesus. And if you let go of Jesus, don't think that those empty shadows can do you any good. Don't let go of Jesus, no matter what it costs you. And so, verse 12, "Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God." But what? "Encourage one another every day. Exhort one another. Speak the word of God to one another. Speak a word of encouragement. Look what God is doing." That's what these women did. They said, "Naomi, blessed be the Lord. Look what God has done. Isn't it amazing what God has done?" Now, you know, we live in a culture where, sadly, there's not enough of that going on among those who name the name of Jesus. But when we meet each other, do you remember what Boaz's testimony was? Turn back with me to the book of Ruth. When he met the reapers, you remember what he said? Look in Ruth chapter 2. "And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem, and he said to the reapers, 'The Lord be with you.' And what did the reapers answer, the people that worked for him? the Lord bless you. And so our conversations, our greetings just in our day-to-day, how you doing? I'm praying for you. If there are prayer requests that we have shared one another, asking one another, you know, how's so-and-so getting along? Or I just want you to know that my family and I, we've been praying for you, that the Lord would continue to bless you and keep you. That's what we ought to be doing. Well, the last thing that we see in this passage in the book of Ruth is that the covenant redeemer is the one who saves his people. He shows his glory in saving his people. And I want you to look here in Ruth. We see in verse 16, then Naomi took the child, laid him on her lap, and became his nurse. What a sweet picture. Here's this older woman who was just so full of unbelief and despair and even bitterness. And look, the Redeemer saved her. The Redeemer rescued her. And we see at the end, what is Naomi doing? She's holding the Redeemer. Holding the Redeemer. And again, I want you to see how these women now are involved reminding Naomi about the gospel, the work of God. Look at verse 17. And the women of the neighborhood gave him a name. Now, we don't know what his other names were, but this was the name that stuck. You know, it's funny how people have their legal name, and then a lot of people have a nickname. And sometimes their nickname is not their legal name. Well, the women, they called this young boy Obed. And what does Obed mean? Well, it's literally servant. Here's the one that God has raised up to come and serve, to be the Lord's servant, to come and rescue you. The women of the neighborhood gave him a name, saying, a son has been born to Naomi. They named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now, these are the generations of Perez. And you remember, we saw the grace of God being highlighted earlier in chapter 4 about may the Lord make this woman who is coming into your house like Rachel and Leah, who together built up the house of Israel. That's kind of a sordid tale. A man breaking God's holy commandment about marriage, and he marries sisters. May you act worthy in Ephrathah and be renowned in Bethlehem, and may your house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah. Oh my, that's another pretty sordid tale. But God's grace is greater than our sin. God's grace is found in the fullness of time in another little baby that was born in Bethlehem. The greater son of David, even our Lord Jesus, who comes as the servant of the Lord, to lay down his life upon a cross to rescue us from a life of despair and destitution. That's the message of the book of Ruth. This kinsman redeemer who comes in the fullness of time. Obed, a servant, he is the one now who will serve this older lady, being the one that God has provided him as the kinsman redeemer. through Boaz. Boaz, a great personal sacrifice, steps forward to buy the debt of Naomi and marry the widow of her dead son, Malchon, and seek to father a child who will be Malchon's heir and carry on the family name of Naomi and Elimelech. The family farm, the family line, the line that is the direct line of Messiah. In Matthew chapter 20, the Lord Jesus said in verses 25 through 28, "But Jesus called them to him and said, 'You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. It shall not be so among you, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant.'" Because of the Lord Jesus Christ, the servant of the Lord, we love to have our nickname, Obed. We love to give ourselves, because Jesus has given himself to us, we love to give ourselves to be his tool, his servant, in our homes, in our church family, in the workplace, in this community, to shine forth the mercy and the light of Jesus. Whoever would be first among you must be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. The Lord Jesus is the Obed, the servant. He is the Redeemer. The servant songs in the book of Isaiah are a wonderful testimony in the Old Testament of this servant's heart, that even though we like sheep have all gone astray, yet the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And through the Lord Jesus, through his stripes, we are healed. We have forgiveness of our sins. We have a future and a hope. We have heaven itself that awaits us. When Jesus will raise our bodies from the grave and make us completely whole and new again, and he will wipe the tears from our eyes and welcome us into his glorious heaven. In the meantime, he has work for us to do, a place at his table, a place in furthering his gospel and bringing the gospel to touch the lives of the nations of the world. And in the end, when Jesus comes again in glory, the whole world perfectly cleansed with his purging fire. All this because he came to lay down his life. Jesus is descended from David. He is the one who fulfills all of these shadows. He is both Lord and Christ, this Jesus, whom they crucified, whom I crucified, but is now risen and exalted and seated at the Father's right hand, reigning until all his enemies are made a footstool for his feet. Praise the Lord. Love and hope in this Redeemer. Glory in him and give yourself anew to him to be used for his glory. Is your nickname Obed because you know the Obed? Praise God that God is at work in this fallen world, taking selfish, self-centered people and joining us to his Son, the Redeemer, and changing us to be his little children. Delighting to serve in his name. What a wonderful Savior. There is blessing and life and redemption in Jesus. Oh, the covenant Redeemer, he came. And the book of Ruth is just a little shadow in the Old Testament of this glorious Redeemer who in the fullness of time came to Bethlehem. Praise his name. Let's pray. Father, the only hope for me, for each of these dear ones here, is to know you, Lord Jesus, the servant of the Lord. Lord, how we thank you for the book of Ruth, that it reminds us not only of your gracious dealings to raise up a redeemer kinsman for Naomi and Ruth through Boaz, but Lord, a shadow and a picture of the great Redeemer who has come in the fullness of time, even you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we want to have your name upon our hearts and lives, and we delight to give ourselves to you, to be spent as your runners, as your image bearers, as your servants in our homes, in our church family, in our callings, in this community, in this nation, Lord, and even to the ends of the earth, that, Lord, we would see you, Lord Jesus, reaping a great harvest, giving forgiveness and life and hope to a people who, left to ourselves, have no hope, no future. Lord, we would all be Maras apart from your grace. How we thank you for Obed and how he points us to you, Lord Jesus. It's in the name of Jesus we praise you and love you. Amen. Well, please turn with me in your hymnals.